Welcome to the Faith Church Podcast. On this podcast, Pastor David Crank helps us understand that God's Word is still relevant and has all the wisdom and guidance to help us figure out the crazy ups and downs in life. If you want to hear practical and inspiring biblical teachings, be sure to subscribe so that you can hear the latest message every week. And wherever you're listening from today, we believe God is going to speak to you and bless your life. Here's Pastor David with the message.
Okay, Faith Church, good morning and happy Father's Day to everybody. Come on, give it up for all the dads in the house. I got my glasses on because on the way out today at all the campuses, man, did we ever buy a lot of glasses? And I'm excited about today. Everybody shout amen to that. This here, if you can get this talking to that, that'd be super good. Before I get started, though, this Tuesday night is Juneteenth, and all of our campuses will be celebrating Juneteenth and the freedom that God has given us. And our church is so dynamic in the sense that it's so diverse. When I go preach at other churches, I mean, no offense, but I just really like ours, you know? We got it going on together. It's a good vibe. If I say I didn't mean it, you say, you know what I'm saying? Come on now. We just got something going, and it's special. And then, of course, Florida, you guys are getting ready to have Women's Conference. St. Louis just had it. Give it up for Pastor Nicole. Invite your friends. In fact, I think, how many of y'all think Florida is probably a place that people in St. Louis should come down and visit and retire and have a good time? I know, St. Louis, you're going crazy. You should at least come down and meet your family because you actually have a house here because they have extra bedrooms. You can stay with them. It's like relatives you never knew you had. Actually, it's not even like the relatives that you're born with, you can't pick them, but you can actually scope it out and pick your own relatives at this place. Phenomenal, right? So again, Father's Day is such an important time because a lot of churches that I go to and study, there's not a lot of dads, men in the house. It's like primarily women. A lot of churches just full of women. In fact, if I was a guy, I'd go to church just for the opportunity of maybe getting married, right? That's the truth. I'm telling you, people go to the wrong place to meet their mate. You ought to go to church where women are serving and they got, all right, well, think about Austin. I had a 7-year-old, never changed a diaper. I don't know why God loved me so much, but Nicole had the 7-year-old with the benefit. And so a big shout out to also the young men at our church who are looking at the spiritual dads. In fact, they're at Earth City. If Pastor Reed would stand up with their spiritual son there, Aiden, I see him on the front row. Give it up for Aiden. Aiden is a young man at our church who represents hundreds and hundreds of young men at our church who don't have a dad. And you can feel a hole in your soul or a gap thinking maybe there's something that you didn't get. I think Austin had an interesting perspective growing up. I always told him he had one dad who was his biological dad who was really good at baseball, really good at knowing the averages of baseball stuff, and was a heathen and a great cusser. I mean, that's one of the things I respect about his dad. Anybody ever seen somebody that was just a good cusser? I mean, they cuss and just, some people cuss, that makes sense, but this guy could string it together and you're like, wow! And I'm like, Austin, I'm going to teach you how to preach. Your dad taught you how to cuss. You got an incredible, just diverse life. He's got two dads. And so I'd like to shout out to all the kids who feel like that they are missing something. Thank God your mama brought you to a church where you got a bunch of spiritual dads speaking into your life, teaching you, and helping you. Yeah, I've discovered in all my years of ministry that there's a lot of work to be done under the hood. We just saw that last week. Got a lot of reports back from people that say, man, that was therapeutic to my soul. It helped me. But I think on Father's Day, we do have to discover that a lot of us are dealing with this term, and you've heard it. In fact, sometimes we see a girl or a guy misbehaving, and we'll say, they got daddy issues. Anybody ever heard that? They got daddy issues. But if you really study out the person that's got daddy issues, oftentimes the daddy also had a daddy that had some issues. In fact, I would go and really on a limb here and say this. I think everybody has got issues. And so if you had a mom or a dad or a life that wasn't perfect, welcome to the club. Nobody got everything, but everybody got something. And so we should celebrate what we're getting and what we do have instead of what we don't. Somebody ought to shout amen to that right now. So 1 Corinthians 4 verse 15, it says, for even though we have 10,000 teachers to guide you in Christ, yet we would only have a few fathers. So what the scripture's saying, hey, we got a lot of teachers and people that give input to your life, but very few fathers. It's kind of always interesting, especially when I was younger. It was weird to have like a 50-year-old guy looking at me and I was like 30 and saying, hey, I look to you as a spiritual father. And it took me a while to program in my brain that it wasn't about a chronological age. It was about a position that people would put you in and they would see you. And what a great responsibility and honor that has been. But I think that everybody should have a spiritual father. A pastor speaking into their life. Not only our great campus pastors, but maybe you're looking at me, and that's okay. And even in your brain, you try to go, it's kind of weird because I'm older than him. It's not about a chronological age. It's about a spiritual person in authority over your life speaking to you, telling you, hey, there is a way that is right, and there's a way that's wrong, and you need somebody as a dad to tell you, hey, homie, that is not a good road to travel down. Y'all follow me today? So what our earthly fathers lacked, I love this, our heavenly Father provides an abundance. So every dad has lacked something, and I know that as well. When you're a dad, you think, oh my gosh, this is, I hope I don't screw these kids up and they need therapy. Anybody ever thought that? If you didn't think of that, that's sad. They're probably going to need therapy. So what we lack as a dad, the Holy Spirit on the inside of us can lead us and guide us. And he is called supernatural parenting. And so the Holy Ghost can talk to you about what your kids need even before they need it. By the way, your heavenly Father, the Bible says this, he knows what we need before we even tell him what we need. He knows everything about what we need. In fact, sometimes we think we know what we need, and that's really not what we need. If you're a parent, you know that. Sometimes your kid thinks they know what they need, but you're like, I know what you really need. Got quiet in this non-disciplinary church today. The Bible also says this, and it says Ephesians 6:2, honor your father and mother. That was your mom and dad's favorite scripture, right? Which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And your fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of God. I think one of the things that people really, really need more than anything is they need acceptance. They need affirmation. I got a feeling that even I need affirmation. That's probably why sometimes at the end of a sermon, I'll be like, hey, you know, I was waiting for somebody to tell me, because I probably felt it wasn't that good, for somebody to go, hey, that was good, or attaboy. Anybody agree with that about your own life? So if you need it as an adult, your kids definitely need it. But I watch some people provoke their children, and I'm up on dads, not down on dads. I'm just teaching you some things that I've learned. They provoke their children, telling them everything that they're not, and then they become more of what they're not. Instead, a good father, we serve a good father. And what does our father say? Our father looks at us and says, I know the plans I have for you. They're for good and not for evil. He doesn't see us in our shortcoming. He doesn't see us in our sin. He sees us in the righteousness of God in Christ. So the more we're like God, the better we're going to be, because God designed us and he designed the people that are in our world to respond to affirmation, not assassination. 2 Corinthians 6:18 says, and I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord. I'm going to read it one more time. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and my daughter, says the Lord. My goal today really is to drill on the inside of everybody sitting at Sunset Hills Weldon at every campus today, that Jesus spent his entire earthly ministry trying to convince you that God, our Heavenly Father, is not just God, he is our Father. And so here at Faith Church, we sing songs like, he's a good, good Father. And didn't the worship team do a great job on that special today at every campus, right? It's just so good. So if we don't learn from our past, we are bound to repeat it. You've heard that. If we don't learn from our past, we're bound to repeat it. So sometimes what we do is we don't like a certain thing about our dad or our mom, and now we end up doing the very thing we don't like that they did. Anybody ever caught yourself doing that? You're like, oh my gosh, I'm a mom right now. I'm a dad right now. Raise your hand, right? So make sure that if you didn't get the approval and you were hungry for approval, make sure you're always looking for it. Even our team today. I was thinking last night a little bit about Casper, the new campus that we got going in the third state, Fairview Heights, Illinois. It's incredible. So many people are going to be helped there. And Casper has only been on the team so long. And he's really, really tall. In fact, when any of us on the team do videos with him, we always stand on a milk crate. If you see us looking eye to eye for Casper, ask for a wide shot because somebody's lying about their height. In fact, if I was his height, I'd be my right weight. Can I get an amen? And so he was up praying not long ago, and Nicole and Micah were beside me during the prayer, and they were telling me some stuff real quick. Nothing to do with Casper, but because I thought Casper's new, he might be thinking we're judging his prayer or something's wrong, because no matter what, I know Casper well enough, just as a human, that he's looking out of his corner of his eye thinking, what's the old man think? What's going on? Are they discussing this? And now you'll do worse thinking. And I said, hey guys, wait a minute. Let's finish this when Casper's done. So know that about yourself and other people. People are looking up to you as a dad, looking up to you as a mom. And what they're saying is, watch me. Did I do a good job? So your little kids, you ever seen this? They go, watch, Papa. Watch, Papa. And you go, oh my gosh, I have never seen a kid do that many spins. I was only able to do three. When I was a kid, you just did six. You're blowing my mind. They're like, oh, watch this time. Anybody see what I'm saying right now? But then we grow up and we never really grow out of this. Look at my car. Look at my Botox. Look at my, that'd be a good rep. Look at my, what they're doing is they're looking and they're hungry for approval. Now, yesterday I was at Chick-fil-A and it's not open on Sunday, which is a crime, but let's just thank God for Chick-fil-A right now. God, we thank you, Lord. Woo! Woo! And that Chick-fil-A sauce, can I get amen? Those are waffle fries. Can't wait till tomorrow. No. But Liam, watch this. I videoed this yesterday. Check out what he's trying to get my attention with. Watch. He said, hey, Papa.
Hey, Papa. Look.
Oh, I'm so proud of you. I couldn't do that when I was your age. That's what they want. He got his mac and cheese. Come on, give it up for Liam. He said, hey, Papa, watch this. You're not going to believe what I'm getting ready to do. And if you're too busy, you go, I'm too stressed, I'm too messed up. Hey, quit climbing around on the carpet, blah, 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 blah. And you complain. See what I'm saying? You exasperate the kid. You make a, no, what we want is we don't want kids to have daddy issues. We want them to have a good relationship with us so they can have a good relationship with their heavenly father. And it really makes a difference. Come on, Sunset, Earth City. Somebody ought to make some noise for me. I got this statement. We all need that. We're hungry for approval. The great news is our Heavenly Father looks down and he says, you're known and you're needed. Now, everybody here has daddy issues. They got wounds of their past. The quicker you can get over what your Heavenly Father has done for you and say, okay, I thank you, God, that you have sent Jesus for me, then that helps you get over the father wounds that your dad might have hurt you with. And I'm talking today about all the great dads. It's really great, but sometimes when we're hurt, we hurt, and we continue until we break that cycle through the word of God, going to the right church. So really what we do is we perceive God's will in determination with how we receive from God is basically how we see ourselves. So we go, man, you know what? I think God sees me bad because my dad always said I was bad. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't discipline kids. Certainly we should. But there's a healthy form of discipline. Everybody shout, a healthy form of discipline. So today, really what I want you to do is see how Jesus demonstrated, and we're getting ready to do that right now. Instead of a father as God, just God, he wants you to see him as father. In fact, he says this, it says in Ephesians, Matthew 6, it says, and when you pray, not if you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love standing out in the synagogues on the street corners, seen by others. Truly, I tell you that they have received their full reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to, why? Your father. Come on, shout it. Every class. Why? Your who is unseen, then your what?
Father.
Your father, there it is again, who sees what is done in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not be babbling on like pagans, thinking you'll be heard because of your many words. Do not be like them, for your what?
Father.
One more time. What?
Father.
Your father knows what you need before you ask. So you should pray like this. Our Father. You're not going in and saying, Lily of the Valley, Rose of Sharon, Bright Morning Star, the Alpha and the Omega, Emmanuel, God with us. No, he just wants you to say, hey, Dad, If you don't do something soon, I'm really tempted to slash my neighbor's tires next door. I felt that right over here. God, if you don't do something soon right now, yeah, so you're talking to God, because when you tell God about what's bothering you is not when he found out about it. He found out about it because he knows the thoughts and the intents of our heart. And he doesn't judge us. He loves us because he is a father. And it is his good pleasure to say to us, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus did. So when my grandson did the trick, he thought I was impressed. I was really faking it. I don't love him because of this. Papa, watch this. I don't love them because of this. I love them because I love them. So no matter how high you jump, no matter how many times you pay your tithes, no matter how many times you come to church, how many pastors, oh, somebody ought to shout amen, your dad is not impressed. I mean, we're up against Mother Teresa, y'all. We let people in traffic and you're like, I'm a humanitarian. But we're up against some stiff competition. There's some good people out there, like Mother Teresa and Billy Graham and the Pope and all of it. What are we? Who are we? We're sons and daughters of the Most High God who loves us and gave himself for us. Somebody ought to shout amen to that. So Jesus wants you to see God as your Father. Romans 8, it says this, verse 15. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Right, we sing that song, I'm no longer a slave to fear. That's, by the way, where you need to go to church on time so you get the worship out of it. The Spirit you received about your adoption and sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. So you're not talking to some austere God that's looking to hit you over the head, crazy hair with a big stick in his hand. It's a loving father that wants to embrace you and you've been adopted in. The next verse says, the Spirit himself testifies, our spirit, that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Come on, I'm seeing some money right here. I'm seeing a house, heirs. Heirs, we are God and we are co-heirs with Christ. Indeed, we share in his sufferings in order that we may share in his glory. So you're a child of God. You might not feel like a child of God. You might not act like a child of God. You are a child of God. It just came to my mind, my daughter, when she was little, we were in Destin, Florida, way before we discovered Palm Beach County, the promised land. We were up on the other part, lower Alabama, basically. Come on, somebody. Where the sharks will eat you alive, apparently. Y'all, I love that. Stop swimming in the ocean. Come on, somebody. Swim in a pool. This is their playground, okay? She was little. She was like 4 years old, and she said, Dad, she talked with a lisp. She said, Dad, tell these people that I'm six. Tell them I'm six. She didn't want to be four. She wanted to be six, okay? I told her, okay, fine, because, you know, when you're out of town, you can be whoever you want to be. But she's always wanting to be older, always wanting to be known, respected, loved, an authority. And I'm here to tell you that a lot of us don't realize how important it is just to truly be who you are and enjoy the age you are, enjoy the color you are, even enjoy the thing that did or didn't happen to you. In fact, a lot of times, my wife, this is a trick she uses oftentimes, if we see a person with like a 200-foot yacht or a big, huge office building and they've done a lot of great things in their life, Nicole will always ask, it's her pet peeve, tell me about your dad. She said that because she'll whisper to me, I bet they were adopted. I bet they didn't have a good relationship with their dad. And 9 times out of 10, she's right. It was somebody trying to prove to somebody else, Dad, I am powerful. I can make it. I am strong. I'm not stupid. And nobody paid attention to this, so they did what they did. In fact, some of you are thinking, I wish my dad hadn't been so nice to me. I know what you're thinking. Again, back to the main point. Jesus is wanting you to see God as your father. Remember this, when John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, Matthew 3, baptized him, it said Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to baptize John. John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you. Come on, man. Mm-hmm. Jesus replied, no, let it be so. It's proper for us to do this to fulfill the covenant or the righteousness of God. So John consented. And as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went into the water, and at that moment, heaven opened up, And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. And I want you to read this with me. And a voice came from heaven, and it sounded like Morgan Freeman. And it was really booming. And it said, read it, class. What did it say? This is my son. That's really good. Let's try it again. Well, then I feel like you were a little slow on that. Let's try it again. Ready? This is my
son.
This is my son, my beloved son, and more affirmation, in whom I'm well pleased. Now, Jesus hadn't done anything yet. He hadn't entered his earthly ministry. He hadn't healed blind Bartimaeus. He hadn't healed the man with the withered hand. He hadn't healed the one with the issue of blood. He hadn't went to the cross of Calvary yet. He hadn't done nothing. And what's a good father do? He said, here is my beloved son in whom I'm well. But I ain't done nothing. God is pointing out through Jesus, it is not because of what we have done. It is because that we have become the righteousness of God in Christ because of the substitutionary, somebody ought to go with this, sacrifice of Jesus on the cross 2,000 years ago. You are loved by God. You are affirmed by God. You're prayed for by God? Well, please. Everybody shout, well, please. So when we don't see God correctly, we will always see ourselves incorrectly. When we don't see God correctly, we will always see ourselves incorrectly. You're always looking about what's wrong with you as a dad. What's wrong with you as a mom? What was wrong with your childhood? And I'm not making light of any of those terrible things that happened, but it leads you down a path that rewires your mind to think that you're the victim instead of the victor. But when you go around saying, oh, I tell you what, I'm the righteous of God in Christ. As he is, so am I in this world. I'm blessed coming in and blessed going out. And the favor of God is on my life. When the enemy comes to me one way, they flee seven ways. Why? Because I'm a son and daughter of the Most High God. I might not have had an earthly father. Some of you might not know this at the other campuses, but today in Florida, Nicole shared just a couple minutes before I preached, and she talked about how that we have been married 26 years, which is a good reminder to me. This is 26 years of marriage. Noted. And in 26 years of marriage, I have never, ever met her biological dad. He had called our house a few times throughout our marriage drunk, but I've never met him. I met her adopted dad, her stepdad, who literally gave her his name, but she's had some issues in her life. Maybe really why she is so successful is you might want to ask her the question, tell me about your dad. Well, yeah, let me tell you about my dad. Because of what my dad did, I had to get to know my father. When I got to know my father, God had me write books around the world, had me start a television show that girdles the globe, had me do women's conferences. See what I'm saying right now? So don't go down that victim mentality. When you don't see God correctly, you won't see yourself correctly, but you realize that, you know what? I must be pretty important because my dad said I am. And if my dad said I am, then I am what he said I am. And when you believe in people when they're at their worst, it really marks them. When I'd done the dumbest thing that I've ever done in the history of my life, I mean, this is really, really stupid, and it was a bad situation. A couple days after my dad had shared his disappointment in me, he went to Cracker Barrel, and in Cracker Barrel, there was a plaque, and the plaque said exactly what he wanted to say to me, and it said, to the son I've always wanted. And then he writes on the back of the plaque good things about me and love it. When he handed it to me and I read it, I just started crying because I thought, I not only didn't do something good, I did something bad, but in the worst season of my life, my dad said, I'm not focusing on what you did wrong, I'm focusing on what you do right, and because you're doing right, I'm going to acknowledge that, and so guess what? I kept that plaque forever because that plaque said to me that my earthly father believed in me. So I have a good relationship with God this way, because I had a good relationship with my dad. Was my dad perfect? No, and neither was your dad, and neither will you, so give yourself a break. But at the end of the day, you gotta realize that that behavior is what God would do. When we're at our worst, he calls us our best. When we do the dumbest thing, his grace is sufficient for us. In fact, this next slide I put up, it says, God's not concerned with your accomplishments, he cares about who you are becoming. So let's think about that. I think again about Earth City or Sunset Hills or Ferguson, Weldon, all the different campuses, RPC. Now think about all the dads that are there, and these are next level dads in my opinion. Let's just go with Earth City because I see those guys so much. At Earth City, there's probably 600 African-American men who serve. 600. These men today got there really early, and they have a huge breakfast in the back every Sunday. Ever since Pastor Omar started that, it was like one of the things he went to heaven, but they're like, Jimmy Dean sausage staying here. And so they have their breakfast. And what I've noticed about these men, they have taken on a spirit of a father towards the young men. It happens the same way at Ferguson and so on. But they've taken these kids that don't have a dad, and they started making ushers out of these little dudes. So these little guys who never felt like they had a dad, they never felt like they're important, they walk around with the whole, whatever you call that, the shirt that's like a, it's like a golf shirt. This says Faith Church, a polo, thank you. Sounds like, come on somebody, it's from a movie, right? And so they walk around with this polo and it says Faith Church, and they're this tall, but they kind of walk like they're this tall. They'll walk up to me and some of them can't even talk good yet. They're like, I'm a husher. That's a good job. But that, see, what I'm saying is when you really realize how much God loves you and how that you have underestimated the power of who you are to affect the next generation who might not have nothing but a godly mom, which is awesome. But somewhere down the line, a man, a little man, needs a man to look up for. And I just want to give a big shout out to all the ushers, all the people that serve, all the people that went to Growth Track. Come on, somebody. All the people who took a little kid by the hand and showed them the way. Come on, one more time. That's what I want out of our church. Ephesians 1. First of all, raise your hand if this is good for you today. It says, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the love for all God's people, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious shadow with me, class. Why? Father. Come on, sunset everywhere. Why? Father. That he may give you a spirit. Notice that's a capital S. That means the Holy Spirit. That he may give you the Holy Spirit of wisdom and revelation. I love this part. That you may know him better. When you get to know God and you know how he ticks, you know what he says, and you know what he thinks. And this happens by going to church. This happens by getting into groups. If you just come to church every once in a while, you're never ever going to graduate. You're never going to really feel like you're in charge of your life. It's kind of like going to Planet Fitness, paying $9.95 a month, and you keep it because it's $9.95 a month, but you only go January, the first two weekends. You're not really going to see results. I heard about a guy that went to, if I can remember right, he went to the gym and he bought the gym membership. Nothing happened after 6 months. And he said, yeah, I'm sick and tired of this. I'm paying this bill. I'm going to go down there for the first time and ask them why this isn't working. It's not working because you're not working, right? So when we pray to the Father and he gives us revelation that we may know him better, the next verse says, I pray that the eyes of your heart, my heart has eyes, that the eyes of my heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope that he has called you and the riches of his glorious inheritance for God's only and holy people. Amen. So when we realize that Jesus today is seated at the right hand of his Father, so God the Father is on the throne today, and on the right hand of the Father, Jesus is making intercession and prayers for you. What's he praying? He's praying that the Holy Spirit that he left here in the earth would deal with your heart to say, maybe I should go to church on a Tuesday night. Maybe I should go and get in a group. Maybe the Holy Spirit will speak to you, do this to your kids. You know, sometimes just telling you you're sorry. Sometimes I do this to my kids. I go, man, this is my first time being a dad, and I've never done this before. In fact, I pull this on you guys in all sincerity. Sometimes I go, it's my first time being a pastor. I've never done this for 20 years. I'm 20 years into this. I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. And then people go, oh, I'll let him by with it. He doesn't know what he's doing. Do you know what I'm saying? The humble approach, the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you. And so here's my question to you at every campus. Raise your hand if you say, this church for sure, the more I came, the more revelation I got and the better my life got. Now don't raise your hand if it's not true, okay? So you're doing that. Now the Holy Spirit wants you to get a revelation that Jesus is on the inside of you and he wants to help you, in my last couple of minutes, overcome father wounds. And that's where I want to kind of get under the hood right now and talk about father wounds. Here in Florida, there's a place called Two City Plaza, and it's the first place where me and Nicole bought a condo, and we didn't have the money to face towards the intercoastal, so we were facing towards the outer part of West Palm Beach. And we got a memo for some people, some inside stuff, that they were going to build a hotel, like literally, that would go right up and block our total view, and we couldn't see anything. So we wanted to sell that place quick. We did. We sold it. It took about 2 years, but then they built it, and there's a total wall where we would be. How many of y'all ain't wanting that view? We moved to the other side, and it was way away from the ocean, but you could see the ocean. There was no obstructions, and we liked it. Lived there for several years. And then they started talking about, we're going to build a big building here. And they did, and it obstructed our view. And then they started talking about building a big building here, and they did. And so you could kind of see the intercoastal if you stood like this on a chair and looked out through there. There was an obstruction. So I think some of you have an obstruction because of your physical wounds from your earthly father that has obstructed you from seeing the totality of the love of God towards you. So my goal today is to get you to think about how you can get rid of these father wounds that you have. First thing you have to do, everybody shout, the first thing you have to do, first thing you have to do is recognize that you have father wounds. Some people say, I'm not going to recognize it. I don't want to talk about it. I'm going to sweep it under the carpet. I'm not even saying that you got to go talk to your dad. Your dad might be in heaven today. But you have to recognize I was hurt by my dad, and therefore this has caused some of the reactionary problems that I have, not only towards God, but towards my people or my family. And the scripture for this is in Malachi 4 verse 6. It says, he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers. So God is all into what this scripture is really underscoring here is God wants a reconciliation between a father and a son. That's all God really wants for us this weekend at our churches, is to say, I want to be with you. I want to be around you. I want you to tell me about your problems. By the way, nothing makes me any happier than when my kids come to me and say, hey, Dad, I want to talk about this. And if you'll get some time in your schedule to say, like Austin, he's a quality time guy. It's not going to happen quick with him. He ain't going to talk. And then all of a sudden he cracks open and he ain't going to shut up. So you need to realize that the Holy Spirit on the inside of you will tell you sometimes, let's turn off the phones. Let's have some quality time. By the way, another trick, don't allow your young kids to keep their phones in their rooms at nighttime. About 9 o'clock, the phone needs to go to bed. No hate mail from kids and a lot of quiet in Florida right now. I promise there's people here. I watch as a pastor, people come to me and the kids start texting. They start doing things they shouldn't do and they start watching things they shouldn't. So the phone is great during the day, but at nighttime, the phone stays with you. That's just free impact. Okay. Point two, because I know you don't like that one. Let's go on. The impact of lack of affirmation. Ephesians 6, 4, we kind of read it earlier. Do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. So when you provide the quality affirmation that you need, that your kids need, it'll take a while, but eventually they'll start coming around. And remember this, the Bible said, when you teach and train your children in the way they should go, which means you go to church when you don't feel like it. Oh, we got a lake house. Well, that's nice. Oh, we got a boat. That's nice. We have $100,000 horses. These are excuses I hear at my church. Oh, yeah, that's really nice. We flew our horses in from France. We bought this one. This horse is $1 million, and we fly him in a private airplane. Okay, that's really, really cute and nice. But what's going to happen when your kid doesn't know God? That's when you're going to bail on the horses and say, I'm not going to bet on the horses. Come on, somebody. I'm going to bet on bringing my kids up in the house of God when I feel like it and when I don't feel like it so they can identify Jesus. I'm almost done. Point three is find your identity in Christ. When you find your identity in Christ, Romans 8:15 says you've received that spirit. We read it a moment ago that you're not a slave. You're not an you were adopted into the family of God. And now you have a joint heir relationship with God. You don't have to impress God. He's already impressed. But there are things, as we close, that please God. If you have kids, one more time, raise your hand at every campus. How many sometimes your kids do stuff that please you? Rarely, but they do, right? How many of y'all have kids that sometimes do stuff that displeases you, right? Are you more happy with them when they please you than when they displease you? Absolutely. So there's things when you learn your father, what really makes him happy. What makes him happy again is when they, when you spend time with him. If you've got kids, and they're, I have adult kids. I got a text last night from MJ that said, "Hey, what sounds better to you tomorrow? Going out to eat, coming to our house, and me making lunch, going to the pool with the kids?" I said, "Option two. I want to go to your house, see my grandkids, and hang out with them." She could have given me $1 million and it wouldn't have made me any happier. No, it would have made me happy. Don't get me wrong. But since she doesn't have $1 million, she's got something worth more than $1 million, which is these kids. See what I'm saying? So get it in your head that what your father really wants from you is you. What he wants is you to come to his house. What he wants is you to worship him. So you come for the word, but some of you at the different campuses, I watch you come in, Sunset Hills, I watch everybody come in super late. Watch that red light, by the way, at Sunset Hills. You need a haircut at that red light because it's so long. I understand. But when you go to church and you worship God and not just hear the word, it gives God glory. God created us to worship him. He is our father. And a big shout out to every person in every seat today at all the campuses. You did that. You came to God on Father's Day. You showed up at his house. You're worshiping God and you're learning how to raise your children to perpetuate the worship that only belongs to God. There aren't many gods, only one God. Come on, somebody. Our true and living God who reigns forever and ever. Stand up with me. Let's do this right now. I'm going to pray for every person, nobody moving around at any of the campuses. But I realize some of you are statistically fatherless, which means you're 5 times more likely to commit suicide, 8 times more likely to go to prison, 9 times more likely to drop out of high school. I'll understand that in the natural that these statistics are against you. But today I understand the new statistics, that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away, and behold, all things have become brand new. And God's doing a work in healing you. I feel this by the Spirit of God at every campus today of father wounds. We looked under the hood last week. We looked under the hood this week to go, man, maybe there is a reason why I'm acting or reacting this way. It's because of something that happened to me. Well, listen, something more powerful happened to you. One of the churches at some point, a campus pastor, maybe Ree or Nia or Phil or Micah, or the list goes on and on, Pastor Gabe, Pastor Austin, somebody said, "Hey, I want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus right now. Make him your Lord and Savior." And you did that. And when you did that, your whole eternal destiny changed, but also your identity and who you are right now. You don't have to go around trying to act strong. You are strong in the power of God's might. I want to pray for you today. Father, I pray right now for every man of God in the house, every woman of God in the house that has father wounds and mother wounds, that today they would identify it and go, "Yeah, I'm not going to hide it. I do. But I forgive them as an act of my own will right now. I release them and I'll let them go." God, no longer are we going to cry about what we didn't get, what we don't have. We're going to celebrate what we do have. In your love, your grace, and your favor, in Jesus' name.